dependent again on the help of the Lord. I ask your attention to the second chapter of the book of Joshua and verse 12. The second chapter of the book of Joshua, verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. We must not try to go over the words which we had this morning, or said this morning, but with one exception. Having read that chapter 6, we saw that the token was given. Joshua, the two men of the company of Israel, fulfilled the promise. They gave the true token. We read this morning too in this chapter how that the scarlet cord was put into the window. She bound the scarlet line in the window. We said that it did represent the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, just to, I'm trying not to repeat what we said, but we must just, as it were, bring one or two things which will help us to continue then. That we looked at the gracious desire of the people of God, and whether they are found in his house or at other times, the cry from their heart is for this true token. I still feel, my friends, that there is something particular about a true token. There are many tokens that we have. Providentially, I suppose, we must never lose sight of the tokens we have from the Lord. The good prophet Jeremiah, in his lamentation, speaks of those tokens, and he said that it is due to the faithfulness of God. Thy mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. Well, every morning we see the token of his faithfulness, and so on. We could continue even in those things, we trust, but a true token, something that is of great import. And a child of God looks to where that token must come from. Nothing from earth, but all from heaven. And a true token is what God will give. He does nothing that is not true. But a true token is something that is substantive. It is as he is, and it ever shall be as he is, that it can never, never be taken away. We have tokens of his providential care, and they go with the using. And some of the tokens of his kindness, they go with the wearing out of them. But the true tokens, and I want to keep to these eternal blessings, those mercies that you and I shall, oh, I trust it is so with us all, that we have a desire for. It's the desire that makes us cry for this true token, that these eternal blessings that are in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we desire for, which we pray for, we may be granted those from time to time. A true token. And my friends, there's nothing more valuable than that. I thought too, we quoted the words of David in the 86th Psalm, when he said, show me a token. Now, the woman here, the dear woman, Rahab, said, "Give me. Give me." The child of God wants those matters from God which he will give. He will not merit these tokens, neither will he in any way work for them. Nothing that we and you and I can do will ever merit these tokens from the Lord. And out of his grace, out of his mercy, and through his covenant love, and through the person of his dear Son, will come these true tokens to the Church of Christ. And they will live on these tokens. I believe this, dear friends, if you really and truly seek a token, it is because you're in need of it. It's not only a desire in the heart, and God will put that desire there, but it's because you've been brought into the state and condition of experience that you so need it, because it's a most necessary blessing. You and I cannot, if we're living souls in Zion, we cannot go on without a token, you know. We can't go on. You come to a stand sometime, child of God. Surely you've been walking in these paths long enough to know it. You come to a stand, and you can't put a foot in the way before you unless the Lord's pleased to grant you a token. How can you continue in the darkness? How can you continue in the way? You look at those dear souls, and go back, some of you, many years, I'm sure. But when the Lord called you by his grace, convinced you of your sin, you suffered under the sense of condemnation. You come to the point, and you did come to that point, if you can remember, where you went to the Lord's house, and on your spirit lay the exercise and the desire that he would grant you a token, a real token. I want to be so careful, because any blessing from the Lord is real, isn't it? But you know what I mean. But you don't get carried away with emotion or anything like that. But something from the Lord that will bring peace into your conscience and a blessing into your soul. Well, was it not so? But I'm sure of this, that you was driven almost to the grounds of despair before he was so pleased to do so. But this is in accordance to his covenant love. This is not the hard heart of a gracious God, my friends. In the purposes of his mercy, in the purposes of his grace, you and I are often caught because to wait on him and for him. Those lines of a hymn just drop in very gently. Tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour, wait till the bridegroom of your soul reveal his love with power. Blessed is the man, O God, whose mind is stayed on thee, who waits for thy salvation, Lord, shall thy salvation see. Well, a soul that is destitute of comfort, there's not a gleam in the darkness that you could say revived your spirit. You wait on the Lord and you mourn over your sins and after him. And you go to the Lord's house, or you go to the throne of grace. And this is what you pray for, is it not? That it might please the Lord, and by his Spirit and through his Son, that there might be a word for your sin-stricken soul, and a word that will lift you out of despair, a word applied in the power of the Spirit that shall encourage you to go on a little step in the way. Think of that word in 1 Kings, isn't it, about chapter 19, I think it is, where Elijah was ready to perish. He had seen a remarkable event in his life, and now he was running for his life. He says in verse 4 of the 19th chapter of the 1 Kings, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And he lay and slept under a juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And this he did, and he did the second time. And he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. A token. Have you come to destitution yet? Have you come to that hopeless and helpless state in your own soul's experience? Perish you feel you must one day. All is dark and all is distress. I often quote this, I know, and God forbid that I do it, but to try to encourage the people of God in their exercises. But remember Jonah, yet will I look again towards thy holy temple. I read for my instruction the other day the account of Samson in the book of Judges. And you know how he lost his strength by giving in to a woman and telling her where his strength was. But his strength returned. And a poor man blinded by the Philistines who was brought into that place to give sport to the Philistine people. And he sought for this token once more. Once more. I love those words. It might be Samson's words, but it's your words and mine. Once more, he said, let me indeed be given that token. I will read it if I can find it. But the state that he was in was in a poor state, wasn't it? But the appearance for him of the Lord. Now, in the 16th chapter of the book of Judges, we read this. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Child of God, oh, I don't know, it's not a foreign language, is it, to the tried and troubled people of God? To seek for a real token, a true token, an evidence that we're not going to the pit, an evidence that through his saving grace and mercy, compassion, covenant love, that there might be a portion for the soul, a real token. Give me a real token, something that Satan can't remove. Neither can he set at naught. The servant of God here on Wednesday night, in his closing benediction, his prayer, where he said, Lord, grant us a blessing we won't lose on the doorstep. I understand the language, and I'm sure you do. How often have we, I trust, had a warming of our hearts in the house of the Lord? And it isn't long, you know, before you have to search and find out what it was that warmed your heart. Satan's come and snatched it away. A real token. I believe, you know, if the Lord grants his people a real token, it's a token that will abide. I met someone this afternoon, you know who I met, who was so blessed in his soul, so blessed in past years. And the dear old man came in the vestry, and I said, well, how are you? And he said, I fear I'm going to hell. You don't hear that too many times in our chapels, do you? I fear I'm going to hell. That's real, you know, that's real. That's not no boasting tongue, that's the feelings of his very soul. And I said, what then is the matter? He said, I've lost the comfort of his word. I thought, I wish he was here tonight. Not that I can do anything, but perhaps the text might abide with him. And I said, well, now you come to chapel and listen and see whether there's a portion for you. Because that's what the child of God would desire, wouldn't he? You would. If you want a token, you'll come up to the Lord's house. You don't need to come to the Lord's house for a token. Of course you don't. It can be in your own house. If the Lord, in his sovereign mercy, should be so pleased to do, he meets his people where he will. But he has given a means of grace, you know. And they are the places which we long for us, long for those occasions when he will come down and grant the real token and give me a real token. Well, what then is this token? What a sinner wants. I would say this, you know, and I say it very carefully. Could you really catalogue before the Lord what you truly want? Could you be able to describe chapter and verse, as it were, those tokens that you really did want the Lord to do for you? One of our hymn writers says this, and I believe it's in various verses of the same hymn. It ends with this line, "Give me Christ, or else I die." Now, there is the real token. I was going to say, and I don't mean it wrongly nor coldly, whatever you need tonight could be wrapped up in those words. It could be the means to the comfort and assurance of your poor soul, if that is by his grace and mercy he should bestow that blessing on you. You may think you, and I'm sure I don't say that wrongly, you may pray for forgiveness. You may pray for the application of that precious blood that flowed at Calvary. You would pray, I'm sure, for the nearness of his presence. You would pray, surely, for his blessed voice to be heard into the soul. You would pray for these things. These are the tokens. These are the real tokens, you know, and they come from glory, as we began to say, as we began, give me. I can't merit it. Just by the side for a moment. Remember the woman in the 15th of Matthew. It just drops into my mind. She had a trouble. We read, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now this dear woman had a trouble, and it was her daughter. And you know the place where she was brought. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Thence came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Everything seemed to be discouraging, didn't it? Even from the precious lips of the Saviour, everything seemed to be discouraging. But what was really happening? My friends, trying of faith. That was what was really happening. It isn't contrary to his own word. His own word says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. But experience teaches a child of God that faith is to be tried. But this is the word that's long been upon my spirit. Many years I've carried this word, and it is this. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I used to say, We do still, I suppose, sometimes, you know, delays are not denials. The trying of faith doesn't mean the overthrowing of faith. The waiting upon the Lord, as we quoted that verse in that 330th hymn, the waiting on the Lord, my friends, is in the purposes of God for his dear people. Give me a true token. And a sinner draws near with this exercise and burden. And as I was saying, my friends, you could say it is all contained in that one word, Christ. It's all contained in that one person, what you and I need as a true token. Well, my friends, if he's convinced you of his sin, he'll do so again. He'll bring you into soul trouble over sin. If it's the first time he's convinced you of your sin, you can be sure of that. I don't want to discourage you, but in soul trouble, my friends, you'll need his pardoning love and his forgiving mercy many times as you are spared in this evil day and in this wilderness journey. A true token. We quoted this morning of that dear disciple who would not be content till he saw, until I'm told by God's own lips that he has chosen me, a true token. The token is from God. It will be therefore a true token, given by his love and according to his mercy and covenant dealings with his people. And all these tokens will be, as it were, contained in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tokens. I do believe, dear saints of God, have known what we might simply call, yet graciously desire, tokens of heaven. How often do the Lord's dear people in their old age and in their infirmities, as we mentioned the one this afternoon, fears, condemnation, fears to be lost, fears that they've been deceived throughout their life. And their cry would be, Lord, grant me a token for heaven, a real token. Give me a true token. My friends, is there a subject more than your never-dying soul that's important? Is there a subject more important than your eternal habitation? Is there anything more important? Have you ever sought and prayed for the Lord that he might give you a token of that glorious abode? That you may know that you've only to pass out of time and you'll be with Christ, which is far better. That when the work of grace is finished, that heaven's door shall be indeed walked through, and I say that very reverently, a true token of heaven. Give me a true token. What would you consider to be that which would be the token of a glorious heaven? To be where Rutherford describes in that lovely poem or hymn, Emmanuel's Land. He had such a sweet view of that place, you know. But what was his heaven? What was his heaven? There's been all sorts of silly descriptions of glory, isn't there? Do you know, my friends, I've told you before and I tell you again, my view of heaven is where the person of Christ is. Let alone whatever else the word of God tells us of heaven. That is heaven to my poor soul. Now I said just now, if whatever is the token, whatever you may describe before the Lord, the true token that you want him to give you, that all these true tokens are found in the person of Christ. And so is your heaven, my friends. So is your heaven. The bride eyes not her garment, but her beloved's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace, not on the crown he weareth, but on his pierced hands. That is the blessing, my friends. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. I do believe, my friends, if you want a token of heaven, that is, if your exercise is such that you desire to have that assurance granted to you, you're brought to see that the pathway is not so long before you, that you may in your heart have fears concerning the end, how it will be. But, my friends, if the Holy Spirit is pleased to show you that glorious person that has purchased heaven for you, you will find that there is your heaven. I know Rutherford said, if one soul from Anworth be found at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. But I don't believe he would view that as being more important than the person of Christ, and give me a true token. Well, he said himself, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And I've often had to feel too, as we read these solemn truths of glory, my friends, the token is a free token as well. It's given as it's described, and give me a true token, it's a free token. But consider, as you may be able to, the cost of that free token, of that true token. My friends, what was indeed a price paid? The ransomed people of God, the very word ransom speaks of cost. It's descriptive of something that has to be given, so that those that are in possession of the blessing have been ransomed. They've been bought. What has been bought? But my friends, what has been paid? The very life and the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that is what's been paid. The price, the hymn writer says, the line says in the hymn, doesn't it? The price is own heart's blood. That is the price of the true token. 33 years he lived on earth, 3 years he preached his blessed gospel, and went to a place called Calvary. And there he paid the price, gave himself a ransom for many, so that these ransomed, forgiven sinners shall be granted, not only while they dwell here below, a true token, but that they shall have the entrance into it in glory at the end of their journey. And give me a true token. We said, or we quoted sometime today, that words of John Newton again, am I his or am I not? My friends, it's a question that only the Lord must put out of question. The soul that is under divine grace will be also brought into times of sore temptation. Sore temptation, not discouragements, not just distresses, not just seasons of darkness, doubts and fears alternate rise. My friends, that's the lot of the people of God. What will remove the doubts and fears? What will take away or clear from the spirit of a child of grace the sore temptation? A true token. A true token. You know, that which is of grace has a reality. That which is of the flesh hasn't. I look to those words in Matthew where the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of the wise man. They that hear his word and believe in his word, the wise man who builds his house is like unto a man who built his house upon a rock. The rains descended and the wind blew and the floods came and beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was built upon a rock. In the 7th chapter of the Gospel recorded by Matthew, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. How descriptive it is of God's dear family, the Church of Christ, and personally, because it is me here, and give me a true token. Whatever you may describe as winds and rain and floods, whatever they may be in your experience, they are very effective. If the foundation of God, if the foundation was sand, there would be an overthrow, there would be disaster, there would despair would set in. But in the case of the child of grace, it is not disaster nor despair, because the lot, the house, the hope, the experience, the comfort and assurance, the atonement, all those things which are in Christ to his people and for his people rest upon him. That is the blessing, my friends, whatever comes against it. And sometimes we come into times and seasons, long seasons. I read this morning after breakfast these words. If I can find it for a moment, forgive me just wandering around the Word of God, but this is how I feel to be directed. I read these words. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out our own hands the tackling of the ship, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Who is it that was hopeless? And all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Well, it wasn't the apostle. But this is the token, this is the real token. The sailors, the soldiers, the governor of the ship, I believe he's called, and all those characters who were no doubt used to this business of sailing a ship in storm, they come to the conclusion that all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not loosed from Crete, to have gained this harm and loss. But now I exhort you to be of good cheer in the midst of the storm. Be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. And this is the token. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And give me a true token. You ever wonder whether your pathway was right? Let alone anything else, you know. We can quote often enough, we do, I suppose, he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. But, you know, when circumstances in your life seem to be cross-handed, and it seemed to be anything, in no description like the right way, because of the opposing things in it, the distress in it, the trouble in it, the cross-handed providences and so on. Give me a true token. My friends, do you ever wonder whether the way is right? The hymn writer, I must quote him, but not instead of the scriptures, but it just drops in. The way I walk cannot be wrong if Jesus be but there. That, you know, confirms the way. That confirms the way. You may have had tokens. I moved from one house, one part of Kent to another, and I thought I was doing right. And the final part of it was all of a sudden made straight, and I began to think that it was the right thing to do. We settled in, and such was our home, and so on. We went to the sanctuary of God that was nearby, and it was a barren place. There was no food for my soul. It was as if I was a stranger. My friends, it is, we may, shall we say, hold on to tokens that we would pursue and say, well, now that's evident. I've heard godly people say, well, if the matter's wrong, the Lord will stop it. If the matter's wrong, the Lord might let it go on so that we fall into the fire, my friends, and have to learn to trust, even in the dark. But when we return to where we've come, there was the token. We should never have left. And give me a true token. Well, my friends, I have to confess, it's a few poor words in my view this night of what these blessed tokens are. And we come back to where we began. This is a desire. This is found in the hearts of all believers. It doesn't matter, my friends, whether you've been in the way many years or not. This will be the exercise of every believer in the person of Christ. Every member of his mystical body, everyone who is found in the bride of Christ. My friends, it will be for this true token. You won't live without it. You can't live without it. It's no good like some of these people in religion. They go on, never doubt from start to finish that they're wrong. Never doubt, never seem to be concerned or bothered, never seem to be exercised respecting whether they've been deceived or whether they're counterfeit. They just go on. And it seems as if the sun shines on them all the time. But I believe true-born child of grace will have many tribulations in the way. Not only in the way, but within. Many opposing things concerning grace and concerning the way that is the way that they should go. My friends, I don't boast of temptations. They're too solemn. But I know this, that in the path of temptation, the Lord alone must deliver us out of it, and he will do so by revealing the true token. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my Father's house, and give me a true token. Amen. God willing, there's a prayer meeting on Wednesday evening. Next Lord's Day, we hope Mr. Crane will preach. And on the following Wednesday, the 26th of May, shall we close with hymn 934. Jerusalem, my happy home, name ever dear to me. When shall my labours have an end in joy and peace and thee? When shall these eyes thy heaven-built walls and pearly gates behold, thy bulwarks and salvation strong, and streets of shining gold? Hymn 934. Please thee, and according to thy covenant love, that thou would bring us each to that blessed place. Lord, these real tokens preceded. And Lord, grant us each those desires for it and those revelations of them. But then, Lord, in that glorious place is where sin no more shall trouble us, where all tears are wiped away. And there, Lord, is Christ, and Christ alone. Oh, we bless and thank thee for the gospel, and the suitability is to the poor sinner indeed. Lord, may we ever have a people in this place that feels its poverty, knows its need, and cries unto thee for the giving of those real tokens. But Lord, may the day dawn that they shall speak of these tokens. Lord, it's not just the desire, it's the realization, it's the blessing of the knowledge of it within, Lord. It's the truth found in our souls. And now we thank thee for all thy mercy through thy day, and we seek forgiveness for everything that has been amiss in our services. Now take us to our homes and abide with us. May we travel in peace and safety. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, abide with us now and forever. Amen.